Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you rocking with us here. Today's a Thursday. It's a Thirsty Thursday, and the fellas of the drive will be out at the Buffalo Wild Wings in the hometown of both Clint Sterner and Tyler Milner, Baytown. Shout out. So pop out, see the fellas out there on a Thirsty Thursday, and keep it locked also, as I imagine they'll be trying to probe for some answers from Jalen Knoll, who will be their guest today, I believe, in the 2 o'clock hour. So, yeah, keep it locked right here on Sports Radio 610, especially as it's your home of the Texans. You'll hear them playing against the Jacksonville Jaguars in that particular place in Florida. I was going to say some mean things, but I'm trying to be nice right now. That'll be noon on Sunday.
Can't be as mean as what Lopez be saying.
It's a bleep hole.
I've often said that.
Yeah.
And I ain't even been, so I feel like I should be there before I say that.
Yeah, you are correct.
Yeah. Bleep that place. But you'll hear the game.
It's real bleeped up.
Yeah, right. You'll hear it here on Sunday. And I'm wondering, is the biggest thing, like the biggest question of that game, this one? The Jaguars running offense versus the Texans rush defense? Because we just came off a game versus the Buccaneers where you just got ran through they face, right? They took the Marshawn Lynch approach of running through your face over and over and over and over again. Like, that was the approach that you had with Rashad White and, of course, Bucky Irving. Like, they just kept going at you over and over. And it seems like the Jaguars are situated through 2 weeks to be kind of that. You look at some of the stats immediately, that they're number one in rushing efficiency. The stat that I'm going to go to immediately is rush yards over expected, because, you know, the expectation is one thing, and they're the team that is doing that to the highest degree, having 88 rush yards above expected thus far in the season, which is better than any other team. Second place would be the Bills. But the thing that that came to my mind is, how much of a challenge is this really? Because their first two matchups in the season, the Jags, before they meet up with these Texans, it was last week, the Cincinnati Bengals. Do you know how good their defense is?
I thought they opened with the Bengals. Maybe I'm wrong. But yes, they are not good.
No, the Bengals are not good at all. And then that was week two. In week one, they had the Carolina Panthers, who, I mean, outside of Derrick Brown in the middle, is also not all that good of a defense. And so I do wonder how much of that is really, you know, them being stout. But then also you have to come up against, how bad is this run defense actually going to be for the Texans continued? Because they looked problematic in this one. They sold out in week one to try and stop the run, got gashed through the air. And then this one, it felt like the Bucs were able to get you. Is this going to be a continued tackling issue where now the run game hurts you? Because if that's the case, you allow the Jaguars to get into their best life of being able to run the football, control the clock, and do the thing that you want to do to them, except they do it to you.
Yeah, look, I get what you're saying, and I agree. You know, those are not, especially the Bengals. I think the Panthers are okay-ish defensively. They're not great defenses. Totally get that. You mentioned some of the advanced stats. I think some of the very basic stats say a lot. Yards per carry, 5.7. They're dang near getting 6 yards a carry just because. And the other thing is, you know, they traded Bigsby for a reason.
He wasn't involved that much, man. It was
he couldn't find the playing time.
Right. It was ETN is their lead back, but I think there's a lot of scuttlebutt around Bashaul Tuten, and I tried to get in here and look at some of, because I was like, again, I want to see what it looked like when they were running against, let's say, the Bengals. And one thing I say, that Bengals linebacker core, they was waiting for the blockers to get up to the second level to them. But Bashaul Tuten has good eyes. He has good balance. He bounces well. Like, you know, I like the cat, and I think that he has a lot of opportunity more, the running back out of Virginia Tech. I think he will look good in this game. I do wonder, though, like how that matches up and if the Texans are firing like that linebacker core we know them capable of doing as soon as they see, get up, get into those rushing gaps, how much you get, how much does it look like that 5.7 or how much does it look a little bit closer to a 4, which is a lot more closer to average?
Look, I think it could be a little bit closer, but the reality is if the Jaguars, well, two things, but if the Jaguars are just marginally worse, they're still good. Rushing the ball, you know, if they rush for 4 yards a carry, this defense is going to have some issues. Especially the second thing, and I'm looking at one of the plays that I saw yesterday, and I'm glad I found it again. They also have and Liam Cohen. I haven't been the biggest fan, but their rushing scheme, they've got guys out in space in front of these guys. He has experience calling plays. He has experience. You know, building an offense against a particular defense, that worries me about as much as anything, you know, because he knows what he's doing back there.
He does. Yeah. I do wonder, though, if what the Texans like to do or what they might do defensively changes the way we look at this, because the Jaguars were both top, they were top six in light boxes, and they were, I mean, they were probably, let's see, bottom five in, or they were seventh. Bottom seventh in stacked boxes. They did not see run-stopping type defenses or, like, attempts to stop the run. I do wonder, especially with D'Amico's seeming new penchant to, or maybe not new, but seemingly liking to go to a lot more base here and there, or at least having a Petrie who, again, kind of operates like a linebacker gets downhill, if that doesn't change some of the success that the Jaguars are able to have running the football. If for just, we have another guy in here compared to where you were used to running up against seven or sometimes six guys in the box compared to now, there's eight guys looking at you, you know?
Don't you expect that, given what the Jaguars do best and obviously the Texans being gashed this past Monday? I do expect them to really load up against the run. And then all of a sudden it becomes a Brian Thomas Jr. story.
That was the next place.
It absolutely becomes a Brian Thomas Jr. story because, you know, much like the Texans going into last week, we're going to try to feed Nico Collins because he wasn't getting touches. I think they're going to try to feed Brian Thomas Jr. to kind of dispel some of these myths. And frankly, if you know, he'd better be going for that ball.
Especially over the middle because that feels like a place where teams have tried to attack a little bit against this Texans team. I do feel like, though, what we were thinking coming into the season, I wonder if it demonstrates itself. If you are playing a lot bigger, if you're playing with more people in the box, is this going to be more of, we are going to trust Kamari Lassiter, who, mind you, was at practice today, according to reports. Although Jalen Smith seemingly wasn't, at least in the open portion that media was allowed to view. So I'm interested in what that does for this team. But are they going to go more to the, we trust our outside guys to kind of one up in some a lot of circumstances and follow Brian Thomas Jr. and Travis Hunter around between Kamari Lassiter and Derek Stingley Jr.? Because those are guys that, at least looking at their play last year, you see the way that Derek Stingley handled Mike Evans this week. Yeah. You should be able to have those guys match up against those two other guys for the Jaguars and say, we feel good about our chances. Let's stop the run.
I think you're basically, you know, telling us what I mean, and I agree with it, you know, what their game plan has to be, because this bothers D'Amico Ryans more than anything that they gave up all those rushing yards.
Oh, as a linebacker,
anything
in the era that he played in, the idea that you were giving up all these rushing yards, and not only were you giving those up, it's because you were not being physical and you weren't tackling, you weren't wrapping up and being like that fundamental. Oh yeah, I can only imagine what practice has been like for these fellas, what the meeting room has been like on making sure that they tackle and they wrap up properly. The big thing about
it, load up against the run.
Yes, agreed. Yeah. Agreed.
So that narrows it down. You know, cornerbacks, Lassiter and Stingley, it's on you with these receivers that they have, and frankly, you know, make life miserable for Trevor Lawrence as well. Although I think Trevor Lawrence, I think he's going to end up having to do a lot, and I said this about the Texans, but end up having to do a lot of play action. That's how they're going to counter it. With the Texans loading up on the box, which everybody knows. It's not like we're the only ones who are talking about this, you know?
No, that's a fair point. Yeah. And the Jags were top 10 in utilizing play action, at least to this point in those two games. Mm-hmm. I wonder if that ratchets up, especially as, depending on if you look at it and you say that there's some level of book on how to play against it, or, I mean, as you said, just the logical following from what we just discussed.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how the Texans are capable of playing it, because, again, eye discipline was a part of what they had and to deal with Monday. I keep wanting to say last week. That was really just three days ago.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that eye discipline is going to be part of it. So it's going to be incumbent upon this defense to find a different level of discipline. It's already something that they wanted, but in different ways. So it seems like you agree. Like, this is the big question of this game. How do you handle the run game? Because, yes, Brian Thomas Jr. has been really good. Last year he looked like one of the best, you know, best receivers, without even mentioning the fact that he's a rookie. Mm-hmm. And then you bring in a Travis Hunter that's been really interesting and that they've really tried to get the football. That's fine, but it's about stopping this run right now.
No, I think that is the big story, especially in the Texans meeting rooms and on the practice field. But the other one is very, very important as well. You know, that front four on the Jaguars defense, they've got to be salivating a little bit as well.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, we obviously know
they don't
about,
have chumps up there.
No, they don't. Josh Hines Island is a guy that is well respected in this league, but we actually have to talk about Trayvon Walker,
yeah.
Which is interestingly enough, he's had a good start to this season, mm-hmm. and it's easy to forget him because he was the number one overall pick that people looked at and were like, is that really what you wanted to do? And early on, it didn't feel like he matched up with that number one pick situation. I still don't even know how much I'd lean on it, because a lot of what he's been able to do has come off of stunts and such. However, who are we talking about?
Yeah.
It's the Houston Texans offensive line. He's looked really good at getting pressure off of stunts and such and twists. And so I'd be interested to see. I mean, this is going to be a little bit of a test for this line and see how well have they developed the ability to pick up those stunts and such that are coming up up front, because he's looked good at doing
Trayvon Walker is one of those victims of the narrative, guys.
Sure, for sure.
The narrative came out. Everybody's sticking to it. They don't realize that he's had sacks in 16 of his last 23 games and 3 of his last 4 games. He's playing much, much better, and that could be a problem, especially with Josh Hines Allen, as you talked about.
Yeah, we'll definitely dig into this more as we continue into the weekend. But I do think that, hey, man, that run game matchup between Bashaul Tooten and ETN versus what this Texans defense is able to do in, you know, rehabilitating what the run stop looks like and hopefully stuffing some, because again, the Jaguars didn't have much of that resistance in weeks 1 and 2. I'm mm-hmm. very intrigued to see that once we see these two teams face off on Sunday. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. I want to remind you that Football Talk on Sports Radio 610 is presented by Paramount Plus. Sylvester Stallone is back in the original hit series Tulsa King. This season, Dwight faces his most dangerous adversaries yet, forcing him to fight for everything he's built and to protect his empire. Stream the new season of Tulsa King on Sunday, September 21st, rather, exclusively on Paramount Plus. All right, you're in the loop. And coming up next, about that time to hand things off to Figgy Fig for the mixtape. What you got, man?
Yeah, so should all drive-through restaurants have this policy when it comes to line cutters?
Ooh, I like where we're going here, and we'll hear that next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts. Next.
Yes, it is a mixtape in the loop. Sports Radio 610. It's your man Figgy Fig holding it down on a thirsty Thursday. Happy thirsty Thursday to everyone out there. Salute to the afternoon drive with Ron and Clint. They'll be out there in Baytown. In Baytown.
Yep.
Hold on.
The Dirty Bay.
Hold on. They're not the only ones who'll be in Baytown.
Mm-hmm. I'll be out there too.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to make my way out there.
Well, I'll see you some Figgy Fig.
I'm going to make that hike because I think it's worth the drive. So, yeah, salute to them. They'll be coming up in a minute. Also, Nick Cayley. You'll be hearing from Nick Cayley coming up pretty soon too. Yep. So we might have to bail out of this joint. But should all drive-thrus have this policy when it comes to line cutters? Before I get to it, have y'all ever went through a line cutter at a drive-thru? I never went through that. I didn't know that was the thing.
Yeah. What is it?
Somebody, if you in a drive-thru line and somebody make their way and cut
in their car?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I ain't never been through a drive-thru line where they've left enough room for such
that
time.
That ain't happening. Yeah,
yeah, I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah.
But apparently, it's a Cali girl who was in In-N-Out. Of course, it wasn't Whataburger. It was an In-N-Out line.
You do that in the Whataburger line, you liable to get
yeah.
Things are going to happen.
Yeah. So apparently, she was in the In-N-Out line over in Hollywood somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody, I guess, made a little shortcut and just cut everybody. And
dude, that's dirty.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is what happened. I guess In-N-Out has some type of little, I don't know if it's an official policy, but maybe it's something they do at that one where they going to teach the person a lesson for cutting the line. And this was her story kind of explaining what happened.
I'm waiting in line, and it's the one on Sunset in Hollywood. There's the driveway, and then there's the side street that goes into the driveway. Everybody's waiting in line on this side street. There's so many cars in line. This silver Toyota cuts everybody right at the corner of the side street in the driveway. The staff still takes their order and everything. I'm pissed off. Like, that guy just cut everybody. There's no way. So when it was my turn to order, I placed my order, and then I was like, by the way, like, that silver Toyota cut everybody in line. Like, did you see that? And he's like, oh yeah, I saw them do that. Like, they put like a home run note is what he called it, which basically means that they're going to take his order, but they'll tell him to pull out, put his blinkers on in the front, and then they're just going to take way longer to make his order as if he were to wait in line anyways. He's going to be waiting here in the front for like an extra 30, 40 minutes just because he cut everybody in line.
Love it.
I have no issue
Love
with it.
I don't have issues with it. However, make me think, how many times do they tell you to pull forward and it's just some innocuous thing that you ain't know was going on? Like, I don't think that people are typically doing that because, look, they just trying to get their jobs done like we all are for the most part. But I'm like, could I have possibly offended somebody with that?
Oh, you think they're home running you? They're home running
you? Know what I mean? It's like, oh, you ordered the wrong thing, big fella.
I think he cut. He doesn't look right.
Yeah. Oh, breakfast is about to end. You want to order breakfast at 10:59?
Yeah,
all right,
on.
Go ahead and pull four for me, friend.
Yeah.
Go ahead and pull four for me.
There is that. Yeah, you could just, maybe it's just a little vengeful little thing that people do in these.
Yeah, I thought it was perfect. Like I said, I never experienced anybody cutting in line of a like a drive through or anything like that. Maybe Cali be getting down like that.
Yeah,
but I thought it was perfect, man.
Let's do it.
And that would definitely teach me not to cut line at all.
And like, then you have to go in there and say, hey, you know, I ordered it. Yeah, we know.
It's like, no, I don't think they do it like that. I think, well, maybe. There's one of two ways. Either they're like, well, maybe you should consider not cutting.
Yeah.
Like, maybe you get the point across, or maybe you don't. Maybe you just get out here and you're like, oh, let me see where that is.
Yeah, it's coming right up.
The best thing. Oh, it's coming up in a couple minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can go on. You can go on back to the car.
Yeah, we'll bring it to you.
Yep. 20 minutes pass. I thought that was perfect, man.
Yeah.
I thought that was a perfect little hack.
Mm-hmm. Oh, apparently, according to Tiffany on the YouTube page,
They cut people cut in line at In-N-Out all the time. All right, well, that's an In-N-Out problem. I feel like you need to design this in such a way where people can't cut like this all the time.
Yeah, I know that was thinking. I know it get kind of confusing, especially at like a McDonald's or a Chick-fil-A where they got the multiple lines and you get your order. And then the other person just rushed through, you wondering, like, am I going to throw everything off? Like, I technically got my order in first.
Yeah.
And now the other person just kind of ran right in front of me. So I do one. That's the only time I experience anything like that. But I never experienced anybody just cutting everybody in line in the drive through.
Now, I do this, and I don't think it's out of turn. I don't think it's a bad move.
All right, let's go. I'll get ready to home run them.
Okay, so tell me if you do this, listeners and friends and Figgy and Reggie. When I go to CVS to get my prescriptions, a lot of times...
Oh, God. Are you the one that kind of hang out in both lines?
Smack in the middle.
You are a jackass.
Now,
what?
You are a jackass.
Smack
man.
In the middle. Now, if a car pulls up behind me, I do pick a lane. It's usually like if there's nobody behind me, I'm waiting.
I can't believe you do that.
What's wrong with that if there's nobody behind me? Now, if somebody comes up behind me, I just got to, pick a side,
So what's the difference then?
Because you got to time it so you can get the one that's done first.
Have you ever went through a situation where you picked the wrong side?
Oh, all the time. It seems like just, every time.
And that's just, you just live with that, man. Yeah, like you made like a choice in life and you just got to live with it.
Yeah.
That's in fact, that's how you learn about
See,
life.
I think it's a smart move.
Yeah,
yes,
I would give you credit.
Oh, yeah, we haven't filled your prescription yet. Give us a second.
Pull on up. Yeah. Oh, it ain't ready yet. Yeah. It'll be ready in 2 hours. So you ain't
What are the places that people might be home running you that you never thought about? I never thought about the pharmacy.
It might be. You walk in.
Hand to God, if somebody pulls up behind me, I do just have to pick up.
Okay, that makes sense.
And then the game comes in like, okay, which one? Which one? He reached, but she's still... got her window open and you're kind of trying to figure it out.
Hey, I tell you a place where I know they home run you. It's probably Wingstop considering the way that you...
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Considering the way that they've been treating you, Fig.
And see, that's exactly why when somebody say, oh, no, we're not... I'm like, all right, y'all got it.
You all got it.
I don't want no problems, man. I don't know what y'all doing, but I don't want no problems.
Mm-hmm. Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it's the mixtape in the Loop Sports Radio 610. We are waiting for Nick Cayley to step up to the plate and talk about this offense that's been going on.
Please.
And before we get to that, though, it's National Cheeseburger Day.
For real?
Let's go.
It is. And,
I'm going to ruin my workout with.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, so I actually have a list of the strangest, I guess, cheeseburgers. The cheeseburger toppings that – somehow work. Somebody came up with a list.
There better not be no fish answers on here.
Ooh, gross.
I knew it.
No, I don't think it's no fish answers, okay. But it's some crazy answers. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go through this list and let me know if it's like, that actually sound all right. Peanut butter.
Gross. No.
Get the bleep out.
Somebody said, "Don't knock it till you try it."
No, so I will not try it.
How about the burgers with the glazed donut for the bun?
I've tried that once because it was kind of a trendy.
You tried
thing.
That?
I tried, and it's not good.
Really?
Because remember, there was a big thing. People, hey, this,
no, it
I
is.
Think a restaurant around here did it. I don't know, but yeah, not good.
Hell, they probably added that Daikin Park at one
I
point.
I did try it though.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
What about the refried beans, guacamole, and pico de
baby? The macho burger at Chris Madrid's in San Antonio, and the reason I know it so well, one of the best burgers you will ever have, the macho nacho, I think is what they call it, you will ever have in your life.
Mm. See, you can get me with the avocado or the guacamole.
The
you
beans
can get me
are
with
awesome.
The, I can't do refried beans on my burger. Bro.
Macho nacho, if you're on your way to San Antonio for some reason. Chris Madrid's, thank me later.
Yeah, I think that's a no for me. What about pineapples fused into the burger with cheese?
No.
Yeah, even I'm like a pineapple on pizza guy. I don't know if I'm putting a pineapple on a burger.
No.
It just feels like the wrong. Ooh,
they don't go together.
The more I think about it.
I don't think none of this stuff go together, by the way.
You might be able to get me there, but it's hard, man.
Y'all have all both had to have heard of a bean burger. Burger with beans and cheese.
I've heard of a vegan type of
burger. Not the patty. It's like the burger patty with the beans. The macho nacho.
I've never heard of that. I've never seen that.
It's one of my favorite all time.
What about peanut sauce and pickled ginger on the burger?
That's so far out of the realm of what my mind is thinking. I would actually try that just to see. Like, I don't know that it works. I'd give it a try.
These are stuff that people actually put on burgers too, so it ain't just like a crazy make up something. Green olives.
I don't mind green olives. I've had that. It's not a go to. It kind of goes together. It's in the pickle family. Yeah.
Okay. What about a slice of fried bologna?
I don't think I've tried that, but you got my interest.
Yeah, I was like,
I love bologna.
I would be open to trying that, but yeah, no. I'm
yeah, not. Fried it makes it a little different.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking about just regular bologna, but fried bologna it might come out a little different.
Yeah.
Somebody had fried mac and cheese instead of normal cheese.
That one, yep.
Mm-hmm.
I've done mac and cheese on a burger.
That actually sounds pretty good.
The mac and cheese on a burger, I will do that. If I see mac and cheese on a burger on the menu, my fat self will get it. Like the fat boy within me is like, yeah, I need that.
Yeah, somebody said banana.
Oh,
that's a hell no.
The texture is just crazy on
that. Yeah, nah, that's a hell no for me. Cold cheese, especially deli American.
Okay.
I'm good with that.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. I've been to barbecues where you grill the burger and then you just put some cold cheese on there.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, I was totally fine with it. Somebody said marshmallow fluff and chili sauce.
Now, chili sauce, just take away the marshmallow fluff. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like a sloppy Joe to me. A little bit. What about a slice of ham?
Yep.
Very popular.
In there.
Yeah, very popular. Okay,
I mean, we're not far away from bacon at that point.
Yeah.
And we have people weighing in that pineapple on a burger is actually amazing.
I don't know. You're going to have to talk me into trying that.
Yeah, I got to see what it looked like.
Put it on the docket. We got to find out Nick Caserio's middle name. What was the other thing that we were supposed to add today? I already forgot. But we need to get pineapple burgers now as well. Our list is getting long.
We're getting you guys a macho nacho or some semblance. It's the best burger you
have. What's a place in Houston that have that?
I'm trying to think. I think Christian's might have one.
Mm. Yeah, okay. I'll try. And the last one on here, I know y'all ain't going to like this. Somebody used to put gummy bears.
No, thank you.
On the right, that don't even make sense.
Going to have to pass on that.
Look, that is a great way to just, we can skip the diabetes test. I know what we were doing with right in that instant. Like, hey, we can put you on insulin immediately.
Hell, that damn, the glazed donut for a bun was calling diabetes name right there.
Would you be surprised at all if I tell you that I judge every single person that eats that jerk?
I had to try it. So judgment. Judge me.
Yeah, that's a social media food to me, man. Mm-hmm.
Judgment.
It was definitely that.
Yeah. All right. As we continue to wait on Nick Caley, I think he probably taking a little longer than usual. But in the mixtape in the Loop Sports Radio 610, I ran across this. And Lopez, I'm not trying to offend you or anything. Mm-hmm. I know you're a little older. Are you considered a senior citizen?
No, not yet.
Is
not
it?
Yet.
What's the age? 65? Well,
AARP is 50 or 55.
Senior citizen
is over 65.
Over 65. Okay. Yeah.
At what age do you get to walk in any restaurant and expect a discount? 65, right?
65, you can expect it.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. So apparently senior citizens want to cancel the word senior because it sounds old.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it sounds old. So is
that the end of the sentence?
Well, so apparently younger senior citizens are supposedly trying to cancel that word senior because it sounds old.
What you mean younger senior citizens?
I guess people... Lopez age. So some people that's a little younger than a senior citizen.
Oh, they want it's like you're giving yourself your own grandma name. You want to be called something that.
That's where I was kind of getting that with it. So they don't want to be reminded that they're old and they rather prefer Generation Jones.
What?
Generation Jones.
What does that even mean?
Generation Jones.
I have no idea. I thought you was the senior citizen, so I thought you was going to relate to this one a little bit.
I'm not dumb. I mean, this is very much in the same vein as the ladies who, and it's more largely ladies, sorry, I don't mean to offend you, who give themselves their own grandma name.
Somebody said canceling a word is the ultimate senior citizen take.
That's true.
My thing about it is like this falls in line, and we've been talking about this off the air. Yeah. This falls in line with like, well, we're taking away those wins from your college football season. It's like,
yeah,
we still know what it is.
Yeah.
You can take the Heisman Trophy away from Reggie Bush. We still gonna call him the Heisman winner. Yeah.
Or remember the let's not call this the master bedroom.
Yeah.
That's
a big thing.
Now. I will call it a primary bedroom because it actually makes more sense in my brain. It's like, this is the primary one. But hey, man, this is not a senior citizen. No. I know, in my head, that's exactly what I'm thinking. Right. If you want to call it the Jones generation, whatever, in my head, I'm still going to hear old. So I get what you're trying to do.
I'm going to quote the great John Lopez. Okay, cowboy.
Right.
Like, okay, you ain't a senior citizen. Yes. All right.
Yeah. Mama called you senior citizen. I'm going to call you
exactly.
a senior citizen.
Exactly.
That's how we quote there. All right, a little bit of Figgy's mixtape here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you rocking with us. Coming up next, we should be hearing from Nick Caley, the coordinator of this offense. I really want to hear this. Let's do that next. Appreciate you rocking with us here on Sports Radio 610. 15 minutes till we hand things off to the fellas of the drive who are hanging out at the Buffalo Wild Wings in Baytown. Pop out and see the fellas. And here in the 2 o'clock hour, they should be getting a chance to talk to Jalen Knoll of your text. And so a lot of fun things going on here in a second. I appreciate this text from the 832. I'm 75 and a veteran. And I don't give a crap what you call me as long as I get the discount. And I respect that. I like the way you think. And thank you for your service. Like, I think I get to the place where I go, this is the problem with America,
yes.
John Lopez.
Oh, let's talk about America.
People not accepting who they are.
Let me tell you what the problem with America is.
It's like, oh, I don't want to be seen as old. You are. That's fine. It's not a problem with it, right? It's the person who's like, oh, man, I don't want to see my hairline creep back. But it is.
Yeah.
Shave it off, brother. Come on home.
Generational Jones.
It's just where you are.
You guys know exactly how I'm always like, this is it. Own it. Got a little gray? Grew a goatee.
It's like, hey, man.
Let's go. Lean into it.
It's cool. Mm-hmm. Be who you are. Because
mm-hmm.
who you are is enough.
Yeah.
Okay. Appreciate you. we were hoping to hear from Nick Caley. We're still watching that space, but it seems like they're
that meeting going pretty long.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Which look, go ahead and get it all out.
What'd you say about motion, CJ?
Yeah, no. Oh, you think that's what they're going back? It's like, no, we're putting motion in. Like, I feel like in my brain, I see the cartoon of like rabbit season, duck season, motion, no motion.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's people that are like really eagerly awaiting this. And, I see people talking about it. I even see someone saying, hey, I hope that the offense gets opened up a little bit with Christian Kirk and Braxton Berrios being there. And I'm like, ain't no way. Like, I would be one happy, though, just to see progress in the offense and the offense having more available to it, but that would raise more questions about why a coordinator would feel so beholden to his personnel that he would completely gut it without a couple of dudes in particular, especially when you have another guy in Jalen Knoll that feels like he could fit that role.
Mm-hmm. No, for sure. And, Jalen Knoll, I'm glad the guys are going to have him on today. I know he's going to be asked about that, talk about that, et cetera. Certainly the game that he had, but using him in the situations that really we've all been talking about and kind of asking for. Andy Clue joined us earlier. If you didn't hear that, you can listen to it on the Odyssey app and rewind. He was very much in the same boat as like, hey, man, this short stuff, you know, the little flats, the flares, the short passes to the tight ends across the middle, whatever, that's what could make a difference. Jalen Noll is tailor-made for that.
100%. Yeah. I mean, he's also made for, like, showing up in play-action instances, which when they did it, they had good plays. When they didn't, it was problematic. Like, all these things, there are practical ways, even from your team in these first 2 weeks, that you've seen that they've been useful. So hopefully a little bit of self-scout and a lot of conversation puts them in a place where they show out significantly better against Jacksonville on Sunday. Some other news, Texans-wise, we were mentioning this, Texans safety Jimmy Ward is not going to be prosecuted on third-degree felony domestic violence, which we found out today. I think it was Aaron Wilson of KPRC2 had this. Apparently, Jimmy Ward said, I can finally move forward, because what happened was the grand jury in Montgomery County had no-billed the case, and that failure to indict means that Jimmy will no longer face a criminal trial, but he does still face a civil suit related to the assault allegation, which we had talked about a little bit. So not entirely out the woods, but at least the criminal proceedings seem to be off the table. And so I'm interested to see if the NFL is quicker or slower to now getting through some of this and pulling him off of the commissioner's exempt list and maybe making him more available, because as much as we had come into this season saying, oh, this might be the most expendable Jimmy Ward is, I think we're looking up and going, well, maybe not. Like, maybe he would, like, him as a depth or a change of pace guy for safeties, and maybe even like that Jimmy, or the rather Jalen Petrie, like having other guys that you could turn to in that space, he might still be useful to this team.
Yeah, again, this is one of those where you have to, first of all, make the decision. Do you want this? You know, the Texans and the NFL. Is this something that you want to sign up for? You feel comfortable with, you know, however this played out? Do you want it? That's the first thing. Second thing is, then you got to decide, does he have anything left? You know, we saw somewhat deteriorating skill set at the end of last year. And is that something you want to add to your roster? I mean, maybe it's like the offensive line thing. Kick the tires, if nothing else.
Right. And I think also on defense, I think you feel better about the upside of those guys. Like, I mean, you know what the high watermark is for C.J. Gardner-Johnson. And while I don't feel like he's reached that or he's hit that in these early 2 weeks, I still think that he's capable. Of course, there's reasons why you can point to when you talk about his injury that he dealt with in camp. Like, what has that run up been for him? Bullock is interesting because I'm still intrigued on seeing what that development curve looks like for him in year two. And then Petrie is one where I don't even know how much of that is about like having a safety type, how much of that is also having a guy that could cover in more of a cornerback type way might be more of what you're thinking about there. But you know, I don't know if he's available and if you can stomach like whatever the moral aspects of this are when everything clears, right? I still think that could be intriguing there, but we will continue to watch. But I just wanted to bring that to the table here, as it seems like we had gotten a little bit more information about that. All right, a quick couple of things here before we chat with the fellas that are out in Baytown. I feel like we have a little bit of news when it comes to Super Bowl. Obviously, the Super Bowl is always an interesting thing. We had a lot of fun in New Orleans. Apparently, New Orleans missed their deadline to potentially host the 2031 Super Bowl. So,
damn it, man.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Dang.
They failed to finalize a long-term lease when it comes to the Superdome, and so they're not able to be, I guess, considered for 31, and that means at least one more year until we get to return to New Orleans for the fun of it all there at Super Bowl.
I wouldn't necessarily say that's a deal breaker, even for 31. They haven't decided who's going to be hosting 31.
No, but apparently it makes the bid impossible based on the rules that the NFL has. You think the NFL,
come on, New
NFL
Orleans. Bends are, if this were, you know, Charlotte, it's a different story. All due respect to Charlotte. New Orleans wants the Super Bowl. New Orleans gets this thing done. New Orleans going to get a Super Bowl.
All right, if you say so.
I mean, how many have they had now?
That's a
seven?
It's been a number of them.
Yeah.
I've said this a lot.
Yeah, rotate.
I mean, you could say rotate. There's not a place that is better for hosting a Super Bowl in New Orleans.
It's awesome.
In these United States? Like, they know how to throw a party.
What's another place that's, like, it's good? Like,
hey, we were in Las Vegas not too long ago.
And I still think New Orleans does better.
It's in the. I don't necessarily disagree. New Orleans is awesome. You know, I think I've been to three of them there. But I would say New Orleans. You rotate between New Orleans, Las Vegas, Miami. That's an awesome place to watch a super, to go to a super, to have a Super Bowl. L.A. Maybe the L.A. area. Rotate those. That's all you need.
I mean, yeah, you probably need to rotate. And obviously, the warm weather situations. Las Vegas has tons of hotels and
Miami
things to
was
do.
A blast, man.
Okay, I'll take your word for it. I just feel like New Orleans is a small enough city to feel cozy. There's plenty of stuff to do. They throw a party. It's not too expensive compared to all of those other places that you named. Mm-hmm. Feels like it's the perfect sweet spot, but maybe.
I would put New Orleans one, don't get me wrong.
Right.
But there are some solid, very fun places for the Super
Bowl. Do you feel like the teams that are building new stadiums are going to get a chance to host the Super Bowl?
They always I was thinking about the upper hand.
Yeah, I was thinking about like Tennessee.
They'll have a Super Bowl because of that. That's part of the deal usually. So the Texans got the Super Bowl in, was it 03 or 02?
That was 04. February 04.
Yeah. 03 season. That's right.
That's right.
That's how they got it because they built the stadium and then they were the new franchise and all that. And then, they'll get one. But if you're just being it for Super Bowl purposes, for media, that's the other thing. These cities know how to put on these events. Yeah, like you want to put on an event in Las Vegas, the Super Bowl, they're probably saying, oh, is that all you got? You know, because they put on monster events.
100%.
I want to say when y'all was out there, they had another thing going on, another big convention.
No, it was the IndyCar race was the next week, and they expected as many or more people.
But then they had some at the same time as type of convention.
But the big thing was, like, remember when they had the IndyCar race in Las Vegas? I think it was like a week or 10 days after the Super Bowl. They're like, yeah, we're good. We're good. No recovery necessary. Yeah.
All right. So real quick before we check in with the fellas, The Ringer put out an interesting piece, the 14 stats that explain week two, as of course we're moving into week three.
Yeah.
And I won't read all of them, but I did want to get to a couple of them, especially that are pertinent to teams that we care about. And the stat here is 11, which is the 11 sacks that Cam Ward has taken in two games, which is two more than any other quarterback this season. A little bit of it is a protection issue. So, like, J.C. Latham got injured in week one. Another one of their offensive linemen surrendered five pressures. Byron Young, who's a third-year pass rusher, he just absolutely murdered John Ojukwu. And then Lloyd Cushenberry has struggled at center. But then Ward himself is an interesting one because you think about him in college, and I always think about him sitting back behind the line and just kind of sitting flat-footed.
Yeah.
It's a different situation in the NFL, and he's going to need to figure that out. I do eagerly anticipate the opportunity to see that in week four for your Texans, especially as they've had a lot of instances of creating pressure but not being able to get to the quarterback.
But he is mobile, though, and he runs around.
He is mobile, but he's going to have to deal with that, and he's been able to be brought all the way down. I think the Texans might have an opportunity to feast week four in a different way.
I would have to agree. I think week four, you know, who knows about this weekend, how it's going to play out. Hopefully the Texans get a win. But week four, it's going to be, if they don't. But I think that's going to be the best chance as far as what we see right now.
And then we talked about this. Judge Don Lopez yesterday, the big case on the docket was whether the Colts could be sustainable. This stat pertains to them. The number is zero. Do you know what this is?
No, what?
That's the number of punts that the Colts have had
week two. In two games?
Through 2 weeks, they've not punted the football.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's a little bit of a fake stat because they've had a couple of turnovers on downs because they've gone for a fourth down.
Yeah.
But I do find that interesting. Indy's been aggressive, and they've been pretty successful at maintaining drives. Now, of course, you're not seeing them until later in the year, but this is going to be something that's interesting to watch because this is a part of why they're able to be successful right now. And that just feels like that's unsustainable.
Yeah. It's not sustainable to that degree, but I think it does reflect what you're talking about. This is an aggressive team, play caller that has confidence in what he's doing on fourth downs, and they're moving the ball. They're having success.
And then real quick before we go here, this one is just funny because sometimes it's fun to laugh at other people's misfortune. The Miami Dolphins, 3.7 is the statistic, which is the number of points allowed per drive by the Dolphins. We know that the offense has been problematic. The defense has been atrocious on the other side of it. We've talked about this. Mike McDaniel going to be on the street here soon. And depending on how you feel and what we hear from Nick Caley, I'm sure you'll hear that with the fellas on the drive. That might be one of those places where people's eyes then going to go to as offensive coordinator. Is this something that you look at? Of course, it's very early, but these things, you know, when things start out the way that they have in the first 2 weeks.
That would be a drastic change mid-season.
Oh, you're thinking, I'm not talking mid-season, but when you bring that up like that.
Yeah, that'd be a drastic change.
It would be. It would be.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.